Hey, it's Benji Cole, son of Al Cole from CBS Radio, welcoming you to another edition of People of Distinction, the talk that gives an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. Run to our website, peopleofdistinction.org, for more info, or you can email me directly at benji@alcoleenterprises.com. And on the line with us today, we have Aura McLean. We'll be discussing her book, Happiness in Quantum Leaps, De-Stressing Without Drugs, available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Or you guys can go directly to ChristianFaithPublishing.com, and there you'll be able to search for her book and pick it up also through that website. Aura was brought to People of Distinction today by some of the best movers in the business, Lunar Lights Media Publishing. If you have a book that you'd like moved, move it to Lunar Lights. You can find them at lunarlightsmedia.com. And guys, I am so excited to have Aura here on the line with us because the book that we're going to be discussing, Happiness in Quantum Leaps. All right. Just within the title, you know what the book is going to go into. But really, what better narrative to have given the current climate that we're all facing in our entire human family, right? I mean, this pandemic has been going on forever and it seems like we're just getting started. And there's a lot of stress and a lot of adversity that we're all facing. And of course, the magnitude of that adversity varies based upon the individual. But what better time to have a book where really we can pick up such practical tips on how to achieve happiness in such a stressful time, right? And Aura is going to be able to explain this much better than I ever could. I'm so excited to have her here on the line. Let's not wait any longer, okay? Let's bring her here on with us. Aura, first and foremost, thank you so much for being a guest with us today on People of Distinction. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. And thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we are very much looking forward to it. Now, before we jump into your book, let's hold off slightly. Let's raise that temptation a little bit more, okay? Talk to us a little bit about yourself. Give us some background information, please.
Okay. I'm currently a professional life coach, and I was an aerospace engineer for Boeing for 25 years, but now retired. And so, and I'm also a Christian minister.
Wow.
Ordained Christian minister.
There you go. Well, that's quite the background. Good resume.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Aura, let's jump right in. Tell us a little bit about your book, Happiness in Quantum Leaps. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, my book is actually a spiritual book. I teach people about God. What it is scientifically, since I prove the existence of God using very, very simple physics, and how to work with it so that we can all be more efficient human beings when we learn how our body, mind, and energy actually are connected as one and how they work together best when the three are all going in the same positive direction. So, again, I prove the existence of God using very simple physics. And I explain it using the God factor, which is my own formula. And it's very simple. It's just three variables. And basically, it's God is synonymous to the universe and is equal to visible plus invisible. And in my book, I explain what those three variables are, what visible is. And these are objects that you see with your eyes, what the Bible calls the world. The world of objects, okay? That's people, cars, things that you see, touch. And the invisible part, that's where everybody fights about. Well, the invisible is easy to explain, actually. If you were to ask a doctor what you're made of, he's going to say, well, you're made of blood and bones. Well, what's that made of? Molecules. Well, what's that made of? Atoms. Well, what's that made of? Electrons and protons. And if you ask a physicist what those are made of, he's going to tell you it's invisible energy. So according to physicists, everything in the universe is actually made of this invisible entity, invisible energy. And this invisible energy is defined in physics as something that can never be created or destroyed. Therefore, another word for that is eternal, what religious people call spirit. So from outside, everything that you, all objects you see are they seem separate. You know, that's what scientists call matter. But if you had a strong microscope, you're actually invisible. So you're both. We're all both. Everything is both visible and invisible at the same time, what you're made of inside. And what physicists call spirit, invisible spirit, is what religious people call what scientists call invisible energy is what religious people call spirit of God. So they're really talking about the same thing, calling them different names. That's all.
You know, that is first and foremost.
That's all.
Well, you know, I love how you say, or I love how you say that's all, because that seems like, and with the way you break it down is when you follow it along that train of thought. It absolutely is it's very simple in the way that you've articulated it. The concept in and of itself, though, is not so simple and not so easy to follow. But again, you've done a magnificent job of explaining it. Now,
if you buy my book, I have diagrams even. I have pictures and diagrams.
There it is. There it is, guys. You know what you have to do. All right. Now, you know, a great follow-up question, and if I'm following you correctly, I think we've already started to, if not already fully explained it, at least broach upon the topic. But listen, how else do I follow up without, you know, I have to go with this next question is, you know, you started off by saying you were able to prove the existence of God. Whoa, listen, that's not a concept that I've ever heard before. I mean, I've interviewed plenty of authors and a lot of religious and spiritual books, and they all have their own concepts that they discuss and they go into. But no one has ever come to my show, Aura, and said that they've been able to prove the existence of God. Please explain that for us.
Well, Anne Marie, in an article written by Anne Marie Helmenstein. She's got a PhD, and she writes articles for Thought Company, one of the websites. She says, and she teaches about the universe, what it is, and so on. She's a chemist and a physicist. But anyway, she says that in her article that the universe is actually made up of both visible matter and invisible energy. And so both, not one or the other, but both. Well, the Bible says the same thing. The Bible says God created both visible and invisible. So they're talking about the same thing. She's a scientist. She's explaining what the universe is. The Bible says, yeah, God is visible and invisible. So they're really talking about the same thing. It's just that science calls the visible matter and the invisible energy, which religious people call spirit. So they're talking about the same thing. And so that's the God factor in my book. I explain God is nothing more than the visible plus invisible. Simple. Three variables.
You know, what an amazing, thank you so much for sharing. As I stated, that is, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, that is the first that I've ever heard of that. And again, the way you articulate it and break it down, it makes so much sense. Absolutely. Of course, there, you know, oh, wow, that is fantastic. Listen, next question that we have, Aura, let's go into inspiration. Okay, now, as we discussed in the pre-screening call, inspiration can take on multiple parts. And, you know, not only what inspired this particular narrative, but also, you know, you talked about this immaculate resume and this background that you have. What inspired you to become a writer and embark upon a journey of this magnitude and write this book?
Well, for one, I did not want to be a writer. When I learned how to quiet my mind, I learned that God is actually trying to speak to all of us. But most of us are so noisy in our heads because we're not taught in our schools how to manage our thinking. Mm-hmm. Because one of my other discoveries is through my research is that the problem with science is, this is a biggie, they haven't discovered thought yet as a form of energy, even though they say the law of physics says everything in the universe is made of energy. But they only found 10 types of energy: mechanical, thermal, nuclear energy, chemical, electromagnetic, sonic, gravitational, kinetic, potential, and ionization energy. But they haven't discovered thought yet. So to them, thoughts are not real.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. That's a big thing. I mean, you could Google it. So that was a big thing for me, is them scientists not know what thoughts are, that they're just another type of energy. So I just want to say here in this radio station that I discovered it first, hello. And that religion is nothing more than institutions for teaching people how to, that the most important invisible energy, they call it spirit, is thought. And that's why the Bible says, in the beginning was word. These are thoughts. And how to be the best, how to be more efficient as, and how do you manage your thinking and how to control it and why positive thinking is better than negative thinking. They're the only ones teaching that. So religion, mm-hmm. that's why religion is way, way, way ahead than science when it comes to thinking. That's why you don't there are no classes in how do you think better, how to manage your thinking in any educational system, not in high school, not in college, because again, they haven't discovered it yet. So that's one thing. And so for me, the reason why I became a writer is that I asked the question to God, why isn't there a simple book, one book? Because I read through so many books, hundreds of books on positive thinking and going to different churches. And I was getting confused because I'm part scientist. So, you know, in college, they always taught us God doesn't exist. When I got it and when I figured it out that they're really talking about the same thing and they're arguing over nomenclature, that was when I thought, okay, the light bulb came in and I thought, well, why isn't there a book, just one book, simple book that I could give my daughter? Because I was trying to teach her. I wanted to teach my kids about spirit mm-hmm. and about God. But there wasn't any. I couldn't find any. And that was when the voice came to me and said, you write it. And that was when I said, no, not me. Go pick somebody else. I became Moses. I'm like, no, not somebody else. You know, pick my brother. He's a Baptist preacher. Why don't you have him? He reads the Bible. You know, I don't read the Bible. I Google, you know, questions, and I don't read the Bible. I'm not a preacher. And so that was when this voice kept saying, no, I want you. And I'm like, well, why me? Why me? I'm like, nobody. And he's like, because you ask questions. You don't accept anything until you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to write it. And so that's how the book came to be. So whenever I didn't understand something, he would give me the answer. And so the book was actually unfolded because of the series of questions. When I didn't understand something, he would just give me.
Well, you know, Aura, I mean, it seems pretty clear to me as to why you were chosen. I mean, again, you come from, talking about your background, you come from a scientific background, but you also have that spiritual mindset as well. And, you know, I guess to answer your question, why not? I believe you said it was your brother or your brother-in-law. Why not him? Well, I think with him, he comes from solely, or more so, coming from a religious background where he probably wouldn't have questioned as much, right? He would have just allowed his faith to kind of dictate. And there's nothing wrong with that. But as you stated, you know, the voice told you that why you is because you ask questions, right? The science part of your brain wouldn't just allow you to rely on faith. You actually want to be able to formulate the questions and receive the answers that way. And you wouldn't stop until you found, as you said, the existence of God and being able to formulate an equation through simple science on how to actually prove that. And listen, I think we couldn't have found a better person, or, you know, listen, whether you call him God, whatever your divine forces that you put your faith into, they could not have found a better person to write this book and construct it for our listening audience. So guys, one more time, here on the line with Aura McLean, discussing her book Happiness in Quantum Leaps: Distressing Without Drugs, available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But listen, we haven't even really scratched the surface. I mean, this entire time, we've really been discussing the scientific method and really proving the existence of God. But now let's really get into, you know, some more of the meat and potatoes of the book here, okay? Aura, talk to us specifically, because now, of course, we're talking about happiness, really, and having a positive outlook and a positive mentality. Talk to us. Are there any tips that you can offer our listeners on really how to formulate that type of happiness within their own lives?
My biggest tip is to read my book. Because I actually talk about that we are all body, mind, and energy.
Mm-hmm.
This is called energy or spirit. And I talk about what each one is and how they work together. And how we are related to the universe, that we're just part of the universe, and how we actually, because there, here's another fallacy that we're taught, that in school, it seems like the way that educators teach is that there's only one universe. But then you go to religion, sometimes they teach you, yeah, our way is the only way. So they also teach you their way is the only way. Educators and scientists say, no, their way. And one of the things I realized is, when I learned is, no, there's 7.5 billion people in the world. That's how many perspectives there are in the world,
mm-hmm.
meaning that's how many realities there are. So there isn't one. And once I got that, I'm like, oh, I could stop arguing with my neighbor or with my husband or with my kids, because they've got their own reality based on their history and what they know and what they don't know. And so that's why I teach about, you don't need to fight anymore, because it's a waste of time. They got their own reality. When my husband, when he quit, he was an aerospace engineer also. When he quit his job, I was trying to force him. We were arguing about money all the time. I was trying to force him to go back to work. But he would argue because he doesn't want to work. And I'm like, then when I realized his reality is, hey, I want to play golf and play stocks. That's his reality.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us, 50% of all marriages end up in divorce because we keep fighting. We have all these wars about religion, and they're all fighting about God, but they're just calling them different names over nomenclature.
Absolutely.
And we don't need any of that fighting, is my point. Because once you realize that you can create your own reality, there isn't one reality. So therefore, we're free. We're free to create whatever we want. Because each of us, it's up to us to create our own happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're the only ones in control of our own minds.
You know,
and when you can co-create your own that reality, your own universe. So in a sense, we're all like mini gods, creating our own Garden of Eden or Garden of Hell, if that's what negative people want to do. You know,
right, absolutely.
Because we're not taught how to control the mind, because scientists and educators haven't discovered it yet that thoughts are real. They can't teach us. That's why so many people are lost. So many people are on drugs, whether that be legal or illegal drugs.
You know, Aura, listen, you're gonna have to write some more books, okay? Because this this concept that you're talking about is so profound. And really, the more you discuss and the further into this rabbit hole we go, there's so many different branches, just from a psychological standpoint, that we can formulate conversations on. And listen, I am just so enthralled with everything that you're saying. Thank you so much for sharing. Now,
you're welcome.
Listen, you know, next question, in a great segue that you've already, you know, implemented for us. You know, you're talking about, you know, different religions and how there's been wars revolving around religion, but at the end of the day, they're all pretty similar. They just may call their particular god a different name. And of course, there's nuances that vary slightly. But at the end of the day, in the heart of it all, there are a lot of similarities. There probably are more similarities between religions than there are differences. And
exactly.
You know, a next question.
And you know what? The problem with that, the different religions, the problem mm-hmm. with that is they're all calling it the invisible, you know, God, the universe. They're all calling it different names, and that's a problem. And in the book, I said, you know what? If you Google the number of names in the Bible alone, depending on which website, and I talk about this in my book, they have anywhere just in the New King James alone 600 to 900 names for God in the Bible alone. And then when you translate that into the different languages, like, for example, Father in Spanish is Padre in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're talking thousands of names. Now, my friend is Muslim. They call it Allah, God Allah. And some Christians get offended when they use, I got a friend of mine, for example, that said, oh, they don't believe in God. They believe in Allah. And I'm like, and I Googled their you know, Allah, how they came about. Their book says that's God's name.
Absolutely.
So it's just a different name. And we're fighting. People are having wars over this. And in my book, I said, and my friend who's Muslim, she said, no, they have a saying, God has 1,000 names. Mm-hmm. And it's true. But we're fighting over nomenclature. We need to stop that, because this is, you know, for our for the kids, the next generation of children, we need to stop. And that's why in my book I said, all you religious, you know, people in charge, you guys need to get together and stop the fighting. We're talking about the same thing.
Absolutely.
How you practice it doesn't matter. But we need to get together, including the scientists. We need to get together and, you know, and realize that we're all talking about the same thing and stop putting each other down. And, you know, this is silly.
Absolutely. Well, listen, last question that I have for you, Aura, is going off of, again, that assumption of religion and knowing that people, just naturally, as people are known to do, will easily formulate their own assumptions on things, and they'll kind of be very closed off on particular things that way. Now, you said it yourself, right, when you were talking about this book. It's a spiritual book, and you do bring up religious, you know, religious context, or, you know, religious aspects, rather. But again, knowing that people will formulate assumptions, in your opinion, is this book a book specifically geared for religious readers, or regardless of background, whether it's religious background, spiritual background, atheist background, is this something that can be applied to all walks of life?
It's for everybody, even the atheist. And the reason why is because scientists have not yet discovered thought as a form of energy. And until they realize that thought is just another form of energy, they can't teach us how to manage our thinking, mm-hmm. how to improve our way of thinking. And my book teaches, hey, you got to go to religion for that if you want to learn how to manage your thinking. And thoughts are real. Look at all the books that we've got. If it wasn't for thought, you know, I'm talking to you, those are thoughts. I'm thinking, these are thoughts, and they're real. And everybody's got to go to church and figure out how to manage your thinking. That's why so many people are on drugs right now.
Absolutely.
If we are to keep and what happens when we learn how to use our thoughts, our brains, really, that create, it's our brains that create the thoughts. When we learn to manage our thinking better, we actually improve. When we improve the way we're thinking, we de-stress ourselves naturally without drugs. And when we reconnect to God's the universe, we actually improve our health automatically. That's how I healed myself out of a brain tumor. When I was 26, 28 years old, I was obsessed with a brain tumor. I used to be so stressed out at work because of trauma that I because I couldn't stop the thinking in my head. Again, because we're not taught in school how to do it. And because I used to get so stressed out and have panic attacks before a meeting, I was the only female engineer at the time. And so whenever my boss would say, go, you need to go do a presentation in front of the bosses, and they're all men. And at the time, I came from an abusive, my dad was very abusive when I was young. So I had this rule in my head that all men were jerks. They were all like, they're going to beat the crap out of me if I say the wrong thing, if I, you know, do the wrong thing. And that's my thinking, even though it was very negative and it wasn't true. Nobody ever hit me. But my thoughts are my reality.
Absolutely.
And because I was never taught in school how to control it or manage the thinking, what's real, what's not real, this tumor, that's how I started getting massive headaches. And that's how I was obsessed with a brain tumor. But once I realized, I hired a life coach to help me figure out what that thought was, because my doctor had told me, you're going to have this tumor for the rest of your life and you have to take these drugs. And I'm thinking privately, BS, I'll figure this out myself. And so I heard a voice in my head that all ailments, get this, all ailments, the source is thought. And being an engineer, I thought, well, okay, if the source is thought for my ailments, for my tumor, what would happen if I reverse engineered it? What would happen if I figured out what that thought was that was creating the tumor? If I could get rid of the thought, maybe the tumor will go away by itself. Mm. And that's where my journey began with this research. And so then I thought, well, I'll hire a thought doctor, which is a psychiatrist. So I hired a psychiatrist for about a year. She wants to give me drugs because she really didn't know how to do it. And I didn't want to take the tranquilizers.
Right.
And so then I fired her, and the only time I took the meds that she gave me was when my boyfriend at the time committed suicide. So my brain was acting crazy, you know, because I couldn't stop the thinking, the feeling guilty, so on. I should have said this or not said this, or what could have done better, that kind of thinking. And so after about a year, because my thinking didn't improve, I fired her and I hired a life coach. And that's why I do life coaching today. And she had taught me to write my thinking, because we're all in automatic pilot. We think 25 to 65 thoughts a day, according to scientists, but we don't know how to control it. And so, and psychiatrist just likes to give out drugs to synthetically stop the thinking.
Absolutely.
Well, religion, all religion does is help you stop the thinking naturally without drugs. That's what they do. That's what my book teaches.
You know, Aura, listen, as I stated to you before, yeah, I know you didn't want to embark upon this journey of being a writer, but I think that there is so much more that is still left that needs to be talked about and needs to be taught.
Yeah.
And if just all I'm telling you is just be prepared for another moment of divine intervention. Okay. Because it's coming, because I don't think that you're going to be wanting to do this on your own. So you may need a little bit of a push. And like I said, expect that coming very, very shortly, because this is all absolutely magnificent. Guys, one last time, here on the line with Aura McLean. We just finished discussing her book, Happiness in Quantum Leaps, De-Stressing Without Drugs, available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. What better way to utilize the time that we have right now? Again, as we started off this interview by talking about, listen, guys, we're facing a lot of adversity across the board in our human family, given this pandemic, given the civil unrest, given economic hardships. I mean, listen, everybody across the board has their own challenges. I mean, that's human. That's natural. It's going to happen. Utilize this time to educate yourself on how to actually deal with the stresses that we're feeling and really overcome them in a very positive way without really needing to go, as she stated, without needing to go out and get drugs, right? And that's illegal or legal drugs. We're not just talking about drugs on a basic scale. We're talking, listen, you don't have to go out and go to see a doctor and have doctors prescribe these medications for you. And listen, to each their own, if that's your way that you'd like to go. The great thing about what Aura is saying here, though, is she's found a way to be able to utilize yourselves, utilize just your thoughts, and be able to work and navigate through these stresses and have a healthier lifestyle. Or this is absolutely incredible. Thank you so much again for being a guest with us on People of Distinction.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it so much. Thank you for having me.